Hey, Mike.
Hey, Michelle. Welcome to Sabrosito. Thanks again for filling in, Michelle from TN.
I'm so happy to do it. Thank you for letting me fill in.
Yeah, it's a big help. That's really helpful. So, Michelle, Sabrosito, how did you like this episode?
I thought it was maybe one of my favorite episodes in Better Call Saul.
Yeah, me too. Salute is my favorite Breaking Bad. And this one is so close to Salute that it's, God, it's great.
Oh, it was so good. I mean, it just showed us everything, you know? I mean, just, you just get all the, but you know what? I think the next one might be better, if you can believe it.
Oh,
from
it looks
the upcoming
like,
scenes.
Yeah, it looks like things are teeing up to be really, really good.
I know.
So, Michelle, I listened to the Insider podcast about this one.
Okay.
And this is in 1999 time. So it's another
good.
It's another weird one. Like last episode, sunk costs was kind of the had kind of a future flash forward with the truck and the old shoes.
Right.
Well, this one is kind of a flashback, but not too far back. And the scene is 1999. It's the pool scene with Don Eladio diving into the pool in the exact same camera frame shot as when he gets shot and falls into the... Or when he doesn't get shot, he gets poisoned and falls into the pool.
Right, right. And they do that underwater scene stuff with it and everything.
Yeah. Exactly the same. Exactly the same angle and everything. It looks so cool.
I love how they're playing on that. I love how they're going back and just touching all over the Breaking Bad parts of this, particularly in this episode.
Can you remember back to Breaking Bad, Michelle? Were you ever happy that Hector had the one up on Gus?
Well, Gus was never, as I can recall, looked at as anything but just a really bad guy, right? And he was really mean, remember, like to, I just blanked on his name. What's his name?
Hector.
No.
Walt?
Walt, yeah. I mean, he was really mean and disrespectful to Walt about everything. So it was hard to like anything about Gus.
Yeah, but you know what?
I
agree with you totally. I was really glad when Gus got by Hector. Like, go good, they're going to get Gus. But you know what? Hector deserved it. Hector, the more we know about Hector, the worse and worse and worse he looks.
Oh, I know. Well, we didn't really know a lot about Hector. They showed us a little bit back in his like speaking days and stuff, but not a whole lot that as I recall. I mean, it's been years and years. But now that they're showing us this stuff, you know, Gus doesn't seem nearly as bad. But you still have to dislike the way he was with Walt. That was really not good.
Well, Walt didn't play his game.
Well, he kind of did, didn't he?
The thing that got between them was the kids getting killed and Jesse getting really, really over upset about that. And then Walt kind of backed up Jesse. And I guess Walt probably didn't want kids getting killed either. And who knows, did Hector really want kids getting killed?
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. But
not Hector. Sorry, Gus.
Gus, yeah.
Hector probably did that for fun. He held his nephew's head under the water for fun. But yeah, it was just—it's the weird switching of allegiances. Like I thought, oh, good, they're gonna get Gus. Hector's gonna get Gus. Finally, some good redemption. Almost like we want it to come back on Chuck now. But
I want
Hector to get it bad.
But I didn't realize how bad Hector was. I mean, you realized he was bad, right? But you didn't realize he was this bad. Did you? Did we back
then?
Well,
it might be why I like Salud so much, because it showed us really how bad he was. He, you know, just kills Gus's lover slash partner.
Right.
Like, without even flinching.
Right. Well, right.
I don't know. What were you thinking about him being bad? What evidence did you, were you thinking of him being bad?
No, I was just mainly that, well, like how he seemed to have like favoritism, like right with his nephews and stuff, and that's the kind of stuff I was actually thinking about, just like his general demeanor. But we only saw him back in Breaking Bad for the most part, and a lot just as this like crotchety old man who was unable to communicate.
Yeah, he was pitiful. So that got, that garnered like instant, like you felt sorry for him instantly.
Sure.
So Michelle, I'm going to ask you to predict, how did Hector get in the wheelchair? What do you think happened to him? We're pretty close to finding out, I think.
I think we're going to find out too. And I think, but because he's not, okay, what year, I know that you figured this out, but I don't know that I know. What year are we with Jimmy and Chuck right now? Do we know?
I don't think we know, but it's probably, if Breaking Bad was 2008-ish, and this is maybe 2005, 2003, 2004, 2005, somewhere in there.
Early, okay, so we're only just a few years back before that.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Okay, and so this happened, you said, in 1999, so we're only just a couple of years back from that, you know, 2 to 5, whatever, somewhere around in there, between 2 and 7, anyway, not a ton of time. And Hector doesn't look younger in this episode than he looked in the chair, really. And it would be hard to do that because years have passed and he's not a young man and, you know, blah, 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 but they're not even trying, I don't think, to make him look like he's a whole lot younger. So, I think, and when we knew him in Breaking Bad, we thought about him as having been in that chair for a while. It didn't seem like something that was new at the time. So, all that to say that I think you're right. I think that something is about to happen with Hector, and that's going to put him in that chair. And I think we are going to find out what it is. And I think it's probably going to have something to do with either Mike or Gus in some roundabout way.
Yeah, or it could be Bolsa, although Bolsa seems kind of like a company man, like a cartel man. He's not going to rock the boat too much. It could be,
yeah.
It could be Don Eladio.
Could be. I don't know why I'm not picturing that, though. But you're right. It could be.
But I like how the Insider podcast clarified this date. So this scene at the pool is between the time when Salud happened, when young Gus and young Max went to try to win Don Eladio's favor, and it's before Breaking Bad. So it's, you know, it's Max is already dead at this point, but it's before Breaking Bad.
Right.
And it's before the current time of Jimmy and Kim and all this stuff. So it's a little bit in the past, but not quite as far back. And so Hector goes with his driver to pay his monthly tribute to Don Eladio. And, what do you think of the theory of Hector does not like Don Eladio either? Like, he pisses in his pool. He's like disrespectful, disrespectful behind his back. Do you think Hector was once in charge and Don Eladio leapfrogged him, or somehow they were equals and Don Eladio got ahead of him?
Yeah, I was actually wondering about that, because Hector's obviously older than Don Eladio is. So, you know, just like in the scheme of things, you would picture maybe him being in that position. Maybe he somehow got leapfrogged or something. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think that's a good possibility. That's why I think Don Eladio might be the one who puts Hector in the wheelchair.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. It's always possible. But for some reason, I'm thinking it's more personal than that between Gus and Hector. I'm really thinking that it might be Gus. But who knows? Because Hector just seems to hate for no reason at all, right?
The only thing wrong with that theory is if Gus put Hector in the wheelchair, he would have kind of already gotten his revenge on what he did to Max. Because it seemed like Gus had so much pent-up anger without having had any vent to it before he finally got to Hector. That to have put him in the wheelchair in the middle of it kind of would have vented off some of that frustration.
Well, that's a good point. But, you know, maybe he gets Mike. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Okay, remind me about Max again, because I'm fuzzy in that area.
Well, ironically, Max Arcienega, who is the real name of, I think, Crazy Eight. Crazy okay. Eight's real name was Max Arcienega, and the actor's name in Salud that played Max, the actor name was Max Arcienega. So
wow.
They did that double switcheroo. But Max and Gus were partners. They found a way to make artificial methamphetamine, and they introduced it to Don Eladio by forcing that meeting upon him to introduce him to it, and he didn't like
right.
that.
Right.
So Don Eladio kills Max, or has him killed by Hector, so that Gus can't, because he's the chemist. Max was the chemist. So he kills the
okay.
chemist, so Gus can't use, can't make any drugs, and he has to use Hector's, not Hector's, Don Eladio's product.
Okay. And that was about when? That was right before Breaking Bad, right?
It was, but even
right
before,
about that area.
It was even before this scene, so probably before 1999, so... Who knows? They looked
okay.
all... Remember how young Gus looked? Remember how young...
Right.
Even Hector looked younger.
Okay, so Gus is still working and producing for Don Eladio even after all this happened.
Right.
Okay, that's...
Yeah,
that
so essentially Bolsa and Hector are equal parts in the cartel. Don Eladio is their boss, and they ship drugs back and forth from Mexico to the U.S., and then they give a tribute to Don Eladio with that money. So they're shipping Don Eladio's drugs. If somebody else starts making drugs, then Don Eladio is threatened by that because it's not his drugs anymore. It's somebody else's drugs.
I see. Okay.
All right, so the other cool thing with the Insider podcast is they kind of explained the Don Eladio, the thing they gave him, the little bobblehead thing.
Yeah.
The Greek thing. Because Eladio in Greece.
Eladio means he who came from Greece.
So that's it. The little bobblehead guy is related. So essentially Hector starts the ice cream business as a tribute to Don Eladio.
Yeah, and I think as a laundering place, right? As a front. Right.
Yeah, so you need something that you truck around to places, and this
right.
ice cream regalo dolado or whatever it is how he does it.
Right.
So next, so he gets this tribute from Hector. It's a bunch of rolled up money in a thing. It looks pretty good until Bolsa shows up with money like shrink wrapped and perfectly stacked stacks, and it's a lot bigger. And it's a lot more professional looking.
And you know what? If they laid that out on the table and you didn't know and we had to guess which stack came from Gus and which stack came from Hector, wouldn't you know?
Absolutely.
Because you know Gus. There is nobody more squared away than Gus.
So. Yeah, so he sets the new standard, Gus / Bolsa, by this
right.
new neatly packed money. And right away, Don Eladio starts teasing Hector. Hector, yours is little and Gus is big.
Right.
So there's more fuel for the fire between Gus and Hector. So I don't know, the more we talk this through, it does tee it up that Gus puts Hector in the wheelchair because Hector's madder and madder at Gus all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, Gus hasn't even done anything to Hector. Nothing.
Except outperformed him.
Well, right, but I mean, he's done his best, right? I mean, he's worked this business and done better at it. He's better at what he's doing than Hector is, and that makes him mad.
Yeah, but Hector's petty. He doesn't look at it rationally like that.
Right.
He just thinks, oh, that fucker, he got me. He's better now in Eladio's eyes than I am. I made an ice cream store in his name, and I'm still not as good as Gus.
Right.
The chicken man.
And he called it, what, the winking Greek?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So of the DEA, next scene we see the DEA attacking Hector's store, his ice cream store, Mike watching from across the way.
Right, because they've arrested, at the end of the last episode, they arrested the drivers after Mike did that and dropped all the drugs on their truck. So now they're going into the store and confiscating all the stuff in there.
Yeah, so they're totally disrupting Hector's whole operation.
Yeah.
So Mike, while he's watching this, calls his daughter, and she invites him over to dinner, and we find out that he's put her in a new, better house and set them up kind of comfortably, and he reluctantly goes over. He has to be asked a couple times, but he does go over for dinner, but he won't eat the ice cream, Michelle.
He won't, will he? I wonder if it was the same ice cream.
So next day or sometime soon thereafter, Gus's Los Pollos Hermanos gets visited by Hector's crew. And I thought it was interesting that half the customers knew right away that this was cartel trouble.
Well, you could tell by the way they came in there and like all stood around, like in a circle and stuff. It was ominous, I thought.
But some people didn't seem to care. They just kept eating their fried chicken.
Right. Well, it's lunchtime.
Some of the moms knew, like, oh boy, got to get out of here. I don't know. Some people knew more than others, I thought.
Yeah, I agree.
So Hector lights up. He wants to meet Gus. Gus is not there. This poor guy.
Lyle. Yeah, he meets his assistant manager.
I think Lyle's going to make it through this year.
I think Lyle will make it.
Lyle's the one of the guys where they always say, don't be a hero. He's going to try to be a hero, and he's going to get Lyle'd, I think.
Well, if he does, that would give Gus even more reason, because Lyle stands up for Gus so much and is like this innocent in it.
Yeah.
What about Hector? He lights up that cigar and he stands underneath that sign that says no smoking. Hector doesn't care.
So the next scene, Gus is at the fire department doing some PR, community relations, keeping his enemies close but in plain sight at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the firehouse where Walt dropped off Holly.
Oh, was it? How did you know? Did you hear it in the Insider podcast?
They did say it in the Insider podcast, but I saw it right away. You could kind of tell from the big fire truck. They did the same angle.
Wow. Okay.
So they revisited that.
Yeah.
All right. So Gus comes back now to work at Los Pollos, and he sees his whole crew sitting quasi-hostage, I guess.
Well, yeah, he's gotten a call while he's in the fire station. And he actually leaves in the middle of his talk. And so he comes back in, and he knows something's up. Well, I don't think he knew exactly what was up.
Yeah, so Nacho directs him back to the room where Hector's waiting for him, his own office.
Right.
And he's sitting there, Michelle, with his feet up on the desk, scraping something off his shoes, crap or gum or dirt or something, right onto his desk.
Right. And that's so bad for a guy like Gus, who is so squared away and put together.
Yeah.
It's even worse. I mean, it's insulting to anybody, but particularly, I think, to Gus.
So Gus says, my business is with the cartel, but it's still my business. And Hector says, from now on, you're going to mule my product up from Mexico.
Now, what would make Hector think he has that kind of authority over Gus, I wonder?
Just strong arm, I guess, comes in and interrupts his business. And
well, you wouldn't think Don Eladio would like that. So that may go back to what you're saying. Maybe it was Don Eladio who put a stop to Hector.
Yeah, I don't know. We see in Breaking Bad that Don Eladio, you see in Breaking Bad that Juan Bolsa doesn't get along with Gus. He thinks Gus is interrupting the flow from Mexico and creating his own drug empire, which he is, so Bolsa's smart about that. But I don't think here I'm stumbling over Don Eladio again. Gus and Bolsa just brought this huge amount of more money to Don Eladio than Hector does. So Eladio wouldn't turn Hector against them and say, go get some of their money and so you get better credit.
Well, not at all. And anything that Hector does to slow Gus down is going to directly affect Don Eladio. So you know that that's not his request from Hector. And yeah. If Gus does it, Hector's not going to be, I mean, Don Eladio's not going to be happy with him.
Right. He's either getting the money from Gus and his crew and his efficient operation, or Hector tapping into Gus's efficient operation and siphoning some of it away. It's all kind of a zero-sum thing.
Right.
I don't think Eladio's behind this, putting Hector in to mess with Gus.
I don't either.
Anyway, next scene, Victor brings Mike money at the parking lot, and Mike rejects it. This is the Good Samaritan money. I really like how Mike just quickly holds true to his concept that I don't deserve this money. I was just doing the right thing.
Yeah, I don't think he obviously shown he what didn't just feel like he didn't deserve it. He wasn't going to take it for that. Mike has his standards, I think, for what he will and won't be compensated monetarily for. And I think we kind of see that play out the whole time we know Mike.
Yeah, he's very Anton Chigurh-like that way. He only does the right thing, even though he's, like, evil.
Right.
So, food prep at Los Pollos now. It's pretty interesting to see people chopping vegetables. And it's a little bit ominous, but I guess they got to do it every day at Pollos Hermanos. So Gus explains and apologizes to his crew for the cartel visit, although he kind of tells a lie here, right, that it's just guys trying to strong-arm me for money from the past.
Well, yeah, I guess, but he's kind of telling them the truth too, right? Or no? Is there no truth to that story he tells them that he used to have, that he opened his first restaurant in Mexico, and these guys showed up and wanted the money, and he gave them money because that's how it worked there. But he was ashamed that he did it, and now they've come here thinking that he was going to give them money here, but he doesn't have to do that here. This is America and all that kind of stuff. The righteous have no reason to fear. He turns it into a pep talk, but he really did. I mean, that's as close to the truth as he could have told them, right?
Yeah, it's not really the truth, though. They're not there to strong-arm him for money. They're there so he mules the drugs.
Well, right, but you can't say that. And Hector really is wanting money. He's wanting him to, you know, funnel the money through him. I don't know. I just kind of looked at it as close as he could possibly get. He can't say, well, this is actually a laundering business for... But the whole thing about it is with Gus, too. I think Gus, of course, he cares about everything he does. He just is meticulous. But he cares about this business as well. Do you get that sense?
No.
You don't? You don't
no,
think
that?
No,
it's his front. He cares about it in the sense that it has to be run...
impeccably.
Yeah, impeccably to be a good front. I don't think he cares about the business. I don't think he cares, you know, I'm going to give you 24 hours of overtime. And no, he's playing. Like, would you work, after Gus's speech, if you worked there for $6 an hour, would you continue to work there? With the threat that people are coming in and keeping you hostage for an old gripe that they have with your boss?
Well, before Gus's speech, maybe not. But once he gave that speech, was very forthcoming, and he promises that everything's going to be okay, and then he offers up compensation for what they went through, and nobody was hurt.
And yeah, I'd be out of there so fast. can't guarantee what he's telling them, though.
No, but they don't know that. They trust him.
Yeah, but you use your common sense. You know, you're not making $100,000 working at Los Pollos Hermanos. You're making minimum wage.
I bet Lyle's making a little more than minimum wage.
Go down the street to Wendy's and make minimum wage without the threat of the cartel coming in and smoking cigars and pouring Cokes out on you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they like Gus, and I think they respect Gus. So I don't think they're going anywhere. Maybe to their detriment.
Well, let's see what happens to Lyle and see how fast they go.
Do you know something I don't know about Lyle?
Well, he's just such a... He's just sticking his neck out way, way too far.
He's too nice.
Well, he's sticking his neck out. Can I help you, boss? Can I stand up? Can I call somebody? Like, he's going to do something wrong. He's going to do something right that gets him offed.
Well, that'll be sad.
But I'm out of there as a minimum wage worker. I would not stay there 1 second longer.
That is a good point.
All right, so next scene, Kim's looking through the yellow pages for the lock door replacement company that Chuck has hired. Pretty smart little scene here. And she finds, after 50 calls or whatever, she finds the one.
Did you see the one she called right before she found the one? It was Lenny's Repairs. Isn't that funny?
Lenny and Squiggy?
Yeah, like for Charles McGill. It was so funny. Lenny's Repairs.
Is that who he was, Lenny?
Yeah, Lenny and Squiggy. Yeah, he was Lenny.
Yeah, so they find the one, they cancel it, and then Mike shows up as the company. Mike the repairman.
Yeah, Jimmy's brave doing that, right? Sending somebody in with all this going on. I mean, I guess
what's
Chuck
he got
doesn't
to lose?
Know Mike. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
So, Mike goes in and he starts to intimidate Chuck with the power drill and stuff.
Yeah, he was perfect with that, though. First, he kind of made him feel comfortable, commiserating with, remember when we didn't even have to lock our doors and all that kind of stuff. And then he goes, I can do it. It'll take me 2 days if I don't use this thing.
It'll be me, myself, and Ben Gay for 2 days.
Right. And pay all the more money for it. And it was funny because Chuck literally, like, ran away.
Yeah, so before this all happens, I jumped the gun a little bit, Michelle. Jimmy and Kim talk about the changes in the statement Jimmy's going to make, and they change the word destroy to damage.
Right.
But I think what they're really trying to do is eliminate the word tape or cassette tape from the statement.
Yeah, that's kind of the feeling I got about it too, particularly as it wore on. Wonder why. They've got something up their sleeve with that.
Yeah, and I think Howard might have some part of this too, because we'll get to it, but it's very interesting how that all develops. So Mike does get into Chuck's house and keeps him at bay with the drill. Chuck goes and runs upstairs. So Mike takes pictures, and I guess he's trying to make it look like Chuck is crazy, right? He's got this crazy lantern sitting on top of papers, and this guy's a lunatic.
I mean, is he? Is that what we're going after here? I don't know. I wasn't sure exactly what. There's definitely something that they're working, but I don't know if we're just working that Chuck's crazy. That seems too easy.
Well, he finds a note that we don't see what's in the note, and he gives that to them, too. So that's part of it.
Right. Some kind of information. It's maybe somebody's name or something. It's something that he found, he says, in Chuck's address book. So I'm not sure what that was.
Yeah. Also, this whole thing with the tape. Like, maybe he swapped the tape out so that the tape is recorded now that says something else. That if Chuck plays it in court, it's going to say something that Chuck doesn't expect. I don't know. He does more than just take pictures to make Chuck look like a kook who doesn't like electricity.
Yeah, right. Because, I mean, everybody knows that about him, right?
Yeah, even the prosecutor knows that.
Right.
So Jimmy meets with Mike, and he reviews the pictures, tells him good work.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, he was saying it was museum quality, the Ansel Adams of covert photography. He's so impressed with Mike, Jimmy is. I think he's so impressed with Mike's capableness, and I love that.
So the next scene, Gus visits Mike at the parking lot. Remember, Mike rejected the money from Victor, so Gus goes and has a talk with him.
Right.
And I went and rewatched this whole Good Samaritan scene, Michelle, because I was so curious about this, the details of it. And it happened in episode 209. And if you remember from that last year even, it's just interesting to remember this stuff. So at the time of 209, it was when Jimmy and Kim were first moving into the office.
Okay.
It was where the wrong address was read at the Mesa Verde Bank application hearing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It was where Jimmy and the Damon Lindelof Jr. guy go into the school property and try to take a video at the flag with the teachers coming out and saying, this isn't Rupert Holmes's.
Right.
And the makeup girl says, wasn't he British?
That was great.
What else happened in the So the Good Samaritan thing. So Mike rigs a spike strip across the road, probably that Highway 2, Federal Highway 2 in Mexico, as the Regaldo truck drives by and pops the tires and ties up the driver, cuts open the tires, gets the money, $250,000, and leaves the guy safe but tied up. And then a Good Samaritan comes along, unties the driver. They call Nacho, and Nacho and Hector come, and Hector shoots him in the face, and they bury him in the desert.
Right.
And Mike knows this because when he meets with Nacho, he says, "Why wasn't that in the papers? I wanted that to be kind of in the papers, in the news." And Nacho explains it to him that the Good Samaritan came along and they cleaned it up. So I think Mike is pretty destroyed by this.
Yeah, I mean, you know he feels guilt over this.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, if you didn't remember, that's what the Good Samaritan event was. So Gus says, back in our time in this episode now, Gus says, "Your actions benefited me." And Mike says, "I just wanted Salamanca out of my head." And Gus says, "Well, perhaps in the future you'll work for me." And Mike says, "Could be. Depends on the work."
So we know that's setting up.
Yep. And Gus offers to him, "Do you want to know why I stopped you from killing Hector? Because a bullet to the head would be far too humane for him."
Yeah, he's pretty cold-blooded with all that, isn't he?
Yep.
So, see, that's why I think it might be him, because he doesn't want putting Hector in that wheelchair without the ability to even speak for the rest of his life is a whole lot more torturous than what he's saying here, right? Like just a bullet to the head.
Right. So that's my kind of my point, though. If Gus puts him in the wheelchair, yeah, maybe that does make sense, because then Gus would not want him killed. He'd want him to live long and
suffering
through this wheelchair. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it's just a guess, but it just seems like his venom toward him in this. He doesn't want him to have a quick death. We know that.
I guess what I'm confused about, because he keeps going back to him in Breaking Bad though, and says today the day, Hector, and he shows him like the poison shot syringe he's gonna give him.
Yeah.
Like he's gonna kill him, but that's merciful.
Yeah, but he doesn't do it.
Well, he was going to do it.
Well, yeah, he didn't get a chance, did he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I hope, you know, I'm sure we'll find out all the ins and outs of this, but. So Gus is the leading contender to put Hector in the wheelchair.
That's my take, just my initial feeling on it. I'd be surprised if it were somebody else, although you're right. Don Eladio would not like if he found out what Hector did to Gus. Gus could even do some. Oh, listen to this. Okay. What if Gus let Don Eladio know that Hector came there and what he did to him? Because Hector or Don Eladio was saying all this money in just 1 month, and he's like bragging, right? So next month, a little tiny amount goes, and Gus goes to him and says, "Well, Hector came to me and said, I now work for him." Then that would give Don Eladio, right, the motive to take Hector out.
Yeah. I think Don Eladio is an evil, evil person. Way more evil than he even seems now. And I think catching Hector pissing into his pool.
Oh, I think that would be enough.
That would be enough, yeah. He threatens people with, like, he teases him and threatens him, and he teased Max and threatened him, and all along he knew 5 minutes later he was going to kill him. Don Eladio is an evil bastard, man. I think I would put him as my number one vote, just for the heck of it. So we'll see.
Well, that makes sense.
All right, so Jimmy's hearing, it's Jimmy and Kim versus Michelle, if you're keeping score at home, Howard and Chuck. So yep. They all sit on the same side of the table, though, because they're really all versus District Attorney Hay. Not really versus her, but she's the one in charge.
Yeah, well, yeah, and shows such blatant favoritism for Chuck, right? I mean, she's like babying him the whole time she's in there. And she's talking to Jimmy like he's a child.
Yeah.
It was frustrating.
You think they overcooked that a little bit too much? Like, did you all put your cell phones in the outer box before you came in the room? You'd think some professional would say, well, what the hell are we doing in this goddamn room with the lights off in the middle of the daytime? Come on, well, man, buck up and get your ass together. This is a legal proceeding.
Yeah, but she's the one who went to his home.
I know.
And then she, you know, she had her aunt had something similar with a noise issue. I mean, she makes like this big issue out of how she just feels for him. Are you comfortable? If you need a break, honey, you let me know. You know, I mean, she's just, you know, and then she kind of looks at Jimmy and hisses and spits. And, you know, I mean, she's not the same at all.
Yeah, her aunt was swayed by the choir boys singing in the wrong pitch and hurting her ears or something.
Right. Right.
I know, this whole thing is so perfect, though. It's going to be Chuck with his grand victorious moment with all of his colleagues, everybody who respects him, and he's going to get slayed somehow.
We hope.
Anyway, so they have this talk, and they dance around the damaged word or destroyed word, but they manage to get the word cassette tape out. It's just turned into property. And Howard, the interesting thing here, Michelle, is Howard is the one who suggests, let's call it an item of personal property. Is he in on this? Do you think he might be in on the Jimmy Kim deal?
You know, I didn't think so, and surely not, because that would be a huge, like, conflict, right? I mean, you can't do that. You can't be someone's attorney and then be giving other people advice. That would be a really unethical thing to do. I think that since, okay, what they did was they changed the word destroyed to damaged, and Chuck didn't like that. He wanted the word destroyed in there. So they kind of, I think it was a decoy, kind of, right? I think that Jimmy didn't really care, or Kim, is her idea, didn't really care so much about the word destroyed. She cared about the word videotape or cassette tape.
Yeah.
And so I think that by decoying the word destroyed and damaged, that they ended up being able to agree to the word destroyed, but took out the word that they actually wanted to take out to begin with.
Yeah, that's exactly what
they did. I just felt like it was all Kimmy. Yeah,
exactly. But Howard is the one that suggested, okay, we'll get destroyed back in there, but let's call it, they destroyed an item of your personal property. He didn't have to do that.
And no.
Remember when the very first episode, I think, of this whole show, Howard's trying to get rid of Chuck, and Jimmy comes in to save Chuck. Howard does not like Chuck. And Howard,
well, that's a good point.
There's been a couple of evidences of that. I can't pin them down here. But he's kind of sided on Jimmy's side a couple of times. He seems like a dick sometimes because he's pretending to be Chuck's puppet. But I think he's on Jimmy and Kim's team here. I can't think of any other reason why they'd have him whisper that.
Well, I mean, it's definitely possible. It just seems so unethical to me as his attorney to do something like that it never really even crossed my mind. But you're right. I mean, he didn't particularly like him. I think he's fed up with him, and I think he feels like Chuck, you know, was the owner, not the owner, but one of the founders of this company and everything. And he feels like he's kind of washed up and old and crazy. He thinks he's crazy, and he just wants him to be gone. So that's a good point.
He's a partner. Yeah, you can't pay him out because he'll wreck the finances of the whole thing.
Right.
Such a strong shareholder partner that he can't afford to pay him out. So he has to get him committed, and Jimmy prevented him from getting committed. So, yeah, Howard's up to something here. So what do you think Jimmy's status is with the bar, Michelle? I can't figure this out either. So even if he's okay, she makes it clear, this bitchy Miss Hay, I'm going to refer this to the bar. just so you know. Like, you're going to be fucked. You're going to, the felony's going to boot you out of being a lawyer. And then she makes him apologize.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Chuck might be satisfied with, your brother might be satisfied with this, but I'm not. Just treating him like a child.
And then Jimmy gets a nice little dig in when he's in his apology. He said, as a brother, I'm very sorry, because brothers should not treat each other like that. And you know that's a mirror right back to Chuck. Like, you shouldn't be treating me like this.
It is. But I think Jimmy really does feel that way. And when Jimmy was having that conversation with Mike at the diner, when he got the photos from Mike and the piece of paper, he said, did you fix the door? Did you do a good job? I think Jimmy, through all of this, still cares about Chuck. I think he hates this, and I think he hates what's going on, and I think he doesn't want this kind. I think he's resigned to it, but, and he's going to fight it, because you have to when somebody's attempting to destroy you like this. But I think it's very unsavory to Jimmy, and I think that a lot of the stuff he says, he actually means. The stuff that Chuck says, I don't think he means a word of it. I mean, you know, they get down to the amount of restitution, and he was off by like $2, $1.98.
I think that's
something.
More. I think that's more obvious. That's more evidence. Sorry, that Howard's up to something, because it's $321. Pay it within 2 weeks. He's like, I'll pay it right now, and Howard pipes up. I don't think that represents the full amount of damages. It's actually $323.98 because the cassette tape was involved. That's just, I think, sugarcoating on Howard being, I'm going to be a total dick, so that it's very super clear, ultra clear, that I'm on Chuck's side here. It's a cover, I think. Howard suggested two things here that are very indicative to me that he's up to something. The whisper of the personal property, and then this little dig on the $1.98.
Hmm. Okay, in what way? What's your guess on what he's going to do?
So maybe Howard will pull a aha at that. I don't know.
And maybe end up getting Chuck disbarred.
Yeah.
Maybe something will happen in that way. I don't know.
Yeah, because Kim, Jimmy storms out, like, I'm pissed. I don't even want to talk to anybody, not even you, Kim. And he just leaves, which is pretty good theater, I think. Because sure. That leaves Kim alone with Howard and Chuck. And Kim says, hey, I need to let you know I'm going to pull a motion to suppress the tape. I know you made a duplicate. It's not the only one. And Howard admits, you're right, Jimmy destroyed the duplicate. I have the master. And Kim meets up with Jimmy and says, bingo, we got what we wanted.
Right.
So something on that tape, maybe Mike altered while he was in the house, or I don't know what.
Yeah, I wonder how Mike could alter it, you know, unless he took a tape with him from Jimmy.
Yeah, swapped it out.
Okay.
But you'd think Chuck would listen before the hearing. He would listen again to make sure.
Yeah, but remember, it hurts him to listen.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe.
Or it's under lock. He said it's under lock and key, so maybe it's in some third party's hands that Mike could get to.
Yeah, I wouldn't think. Well, yeah, but how? You know? I don't know. Oh, maybe he got, like, well, no, because then Jimmy wouldn't need it. I started to say maybe he got the information to where the tape was. Maybe that's what Mike got, but I don't know how Jimmy would get it. In that situation.
It was probably in the house. And some, because Mike got into that house to do more than just take pictures of crazy Chuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, Michelle. I don't know. I'm sure we'll know, though, soon. And it looks like it's finally headed in the right direction. And Jimmy's not just going to be beat down. Because we know Jimmy can't lose his license, because he's, unless Saul Goodman gets a new license.
Well, something I didn't know is that, you know, you can be disbarred for a time and then get your license back, petition to get your license back. And I didn't realize that, but you can. And so I guess he could be, if it came down to it, he could be disbarred for a time and then maybe wouldn't want to get his license back in Jimmy McGill's name because he did get disbarred. And maybe that's why he changes his name. I don't know. it's going to be interesting to see why.
Is Jimmy McGill's law license from the American Samoa Law University?
That's a good question.
Because Saul Goodman's was.
Right.
Like, did Jimmy just stop existing and Saul Goodman came out of thin air and got a law degree from American Samoa in a month? A quick crash course or something.
Yeah, but yeah. He took like he tested out, right? I don't know, because they're still in Albuquerque, right? I mean, isn't that where Breaking Bad was?
Yeah. So yeah, but you can get your law degree anywhere and then just pass the bar in the state you want to practice.
Sure, sure. What I'm saying is he's there. So if he were going to, like, change his identity and get a law degree from somebody, you'd think you'd move, right, if you were trying to do it underhandedly, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that's why I'm questioning, is Jimmy McGill, James McGill, is his law degree from the University of American Samoa?
I don't think they've told us. Or have they? Because, they did say something about it because Chuck was mocking it. Remember?
Yeah.
Chuck said something about it in one of the, maybe season one, about Jimmy's degree and how it's not real or prestigious enough or something. I can't remember the word he used. I mean, and that's barely ringing a bell with
me. He worked in the mailroom of Chuck's law firm. Hamlin McGill. He worked in the mailroom, but I don't know where he got his degree. Although I do remember Chuck making fun of it, like you say.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like the University of New Mexico or something that...
No, I wouldn't think so at all, no. So maybe it was.
All right, we'll find out hopefully soon. We'll find out where Hector got his wheels, and we'll find out what happened to Jimmy, because he becomes Saul.
I'm wondering when he's going to do it, you know? We're
pretty close to losing Jimmy, though, because something has to happen with this hearing that greatly affects Jimmy and his law degree.
So how many more episodes do we have in this season? Do you know?
I said yeah, but I only had three or four ahead. I think there are 10. Here, let me tell you.
Okay, so we've still got quite a few left then.
Oh, yeah. There's at least 5.
Okay, well, then nothing's probably going to happen really quick. Because the kind of stuff that they're teeing us up for here would be great finale stuff. But that's even more exciting, right? Because if they're teeing that up already, who knows what they've got coming down the pike for us.
Well, yeah, there's tons of stuff to find out, like a whole Don Eladio, Gus thing. I mean, Walt's not even on the scene yet. Walt, Jesse.
Are they going to come on the scene?
Don't you think they have to?
Or it may end. The series may end. This is not a finite series at this point, is it? They haven't said exactly how many years they're going to do?
I don't think so.
So, I don't know. I mean, really, you could almost carry it through, all the way through the Breaking Bad years.
Well, they already are when they showed Gene.
That's what I mean. And into that and tell his whole story. This series could, in theory, go on for, what, 10 years?
It won't, though.
Probably not.
I bet they do. I bet they do one more year after this.
You think that's all? I'm betting it's more. I'm betting. I'm guessing. We're only on 3, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing 3 more.
So each of the other first 2 seasons went to 10 episodes. So I'm guessing it's 10. Oh, they only show up to 7. So I have the names of the next ones.
Okay.
305 is Chicanery. 306 is off-brand, and 307 is expenses. Cricket.
What's 308 chicanery? Is cricket. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what that would even mean. What is that?
It's just like, what's all this chicanery? It's like, what's all this bullshit? It's all It's all nonsense.
Okay.
It's like pulling a fast one.
Ooh, okay. And that's the next one?
Yeah. Yeah, I hope we keep going back to Don Eladio's mansion and wherever he is in Mexico. Because I want to see him get his comeuppance too a little bit. Although he kind of does, we know that. But
yeah, I don't know if we're going to see a lot bad happen with him prior to, you know, what we saw, because he didn't look like he was, you know, hurting prior to that.
The more I think about it, Michelle, the more I think you're right about Gus doing this to Hector, because these other guys don't mess around. They'll just kill Hector if they think he's up to something no good. Gus would torture him like this.
Maybe, but, you know, like you said, I mean, if Don Eladio did it, he might do something like that if he finds out what Hector's doing that's going to affect his gravy train.
Do you think it's something, though, beyond just a medical course of life thing, like, oh, he had a stroke, poor Hector? It's an artificial intervention of some violence to him, I think.
Yeah, you would picture by his symptoms like something like a stroke. That is what you would picture. But what would precipitate that? What kind of, you know, torture or horrible thing have happened to him that would cause it? I don't think it's just going to be a natural act, right? I don't think he's going to be grocery shopping and, you know, deciding between organic and conventional lettuce and just having a stroke.
Could you do that to someone medically, like choke them out long enough that they have a brain oxygen deficit and they just become like Hector was?
I don't have any idea.
Or give him a drug of some sort?
I really don't know. I don't know. I don't know, because I don't really even know what's wrong with Hector, right? But, yeah, I don't know.
All right, well, we'll find out, I guess. We'll see, and maybe Chicanery or Off-Brand or sometime soon.
Or at least by the end of this season.
Hope so.
Yeah.
Hector certainly deserves it.
Hector does, he does deserve it. And it's funny how you brought that up, because I wasn't really thinking about, because right now we're really feeling for Gus, and we certainly didn't do that in Breaking Bad. So this is, and I hadn't even thought about that. I hadn't thought about that we, you know, we despised Gus, remember, in Breaking Bad?
Yeah, it would also serve Gus to have Hector disabled. Like, he just can't fulfill that role anymore, man. I got to be the man that ships your stuff. You know, you got to count on me to do it. Although it's not necessarily just Hector, it's Don Eladio too, which Gus eventually takes him out too, so.
But remember, Gus wants to get the meth flowing. I mean, you know, Gus wants his own business, right?
Yeah. So what do you think, what is the drug trade going on in the Regalo Dorado trucks? What's the drug? Isn't it meth?
I'm thinking it's meth, because remember when they started, when Walt and Jesse started doing the meth, the big thing was to make it more pure, and their product wasn't very pure. Gus's product wasn't.
Right.
So I'm guessing that that's what it is. I mean, you know, but it's just a guess.
Yeah, but was that Gus's product?
I think so, because remember, didn't they go to Gus at one point and they talked about how much more pure their product was?
Yeah, but the start of Jesse was the cartel stuff, because that was all with Crazy Eight and his cousin. That was Tuco. They were part of Tuco's organization, which is essentially Hector and the cartel. They were
right, but it's all the same thing, right? It's all coming from Don Eladio. I guess that's what I'm saying. So I would picture it being the same thing that Gus is trafficking as it is Hector's trafficking.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I don't know, man. We'll see. Hopefully we'll find out. I'm sure we will.
It's exciting stuff.
Somebody's probably listening to this and is thinking, you idiots, we already know that it's this and this and this.
But, do we? Oh, I don't. I mean, I, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's some. Well, there's good mystery about what's going to happen to Jimmy. How Gus gets in the wheelchair, and when maybe and if Walt and Jesse show up, that would be cool.
It would be cool, and it would also be cool if we saw some of the workings of Saul, like the back end of the Breaking Bad days.
Yeah, right? There's got to be the connection of Saul in Breaking Bad in Better Call Saul. It can't just end as Jimmy McGill. Oh, one day he's Saul. That's the end. Thank you for watching. We got to see him as Better Call Saul in Breaking Bad. You know, even if we don't see interactions so much with Jesse and Walt, we got to see him. I mean, Saul was a pretty crooked lawyer. He gets pretty crooked, way more so than Jimmy McGill is right now.
Right, who's really treading the line on most things, or a lot of things anyway, right?
Yeah, because Saul's laundering money, and he's chasing ambulances, and he's seedy. He's not that seedy as Jimmy McGill.
Now, let me ask you, though. Is it possible that Saul is laundering money because he has to?
Yeah, well, everybody has. If you don't have to make money, you retire and you just sit back.
No, laundering money. I mean, is he doing it maybe because somebody's got something on him, or somebody helps him, or maybe, you know, because he doesn't talk a lot in Breaking Bad about, you know, why he's doing it. And
he didn't really have to, though, because he wasn't the main character. That wasn't the main focus of the story. He was just like the criminal lawyer. Ha ha ha. So, right. You know, they have the opportunity now to show us that. So I'm sure he was just something pushed him way over the edge. He lost Kim somehow, or she's in hiding or in whatever.
The ground.
In the grave.
Yeah, we don't know.
I don't know. So we'll see, I guess. It'll be fun to find out.
I know. It's very exciting. I love it.
All right, Michelle. I'm Mike. And you're Michelle, and this is West Coast Project. Are you going to come back for more of these, or what do you want to do?
No, I would love to. I'd love to help you out with this, as long as you feel like the conversation is, you know, okay. I still have a lot of questions that I'll be asking and stuff, but I absolutely love it, and I'd love to hear from people. I mean, don't be mean and tell me that I'm stupid or anything, but... But if anybody wants to explain anything, I would absolutely love to hear it, because I love this, and I love this show. And Mike and I watched Breaking Bad. It was almost like a segue into the beginning of podcasting here, don't you think?
Yeah, we did Breaking Bad. We made fun of Wendy and all that crap as...
the very first podcast we ever did.
Right.
And... we used to do this via text. We would literally watch the show and talk back and forth for the whole, you know, hour or whatever that Breaking Bad was on. And it was really like this really memorable time. And so, you know, part of that kind of segued into the podcast, I think. Don't you? It was kind of like, okay, we're doing it anyway. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, it was very Breaking Bad related for sure. And Breaking Bad was the very first podcast. When I started liking podcasts, it was a podcast called Behind the Cutting Edge about Breaking Bad. Actually, I think it was about The Walking Dead, but they did also Breaking Bad, which became pretty, you know, that locked it in for me.
Yeah, what was Bald Moves? Was it Breaking Good? What was it?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that. They had a podcast called Blue Sky, where they talked about gaming and stuff. But yeah, they were around back then too. And like, I don't know what 2010, 2011.
Yeah, it probably
maybe
was
after that.
Yeah, it's definitely been a good little time, and was probably one of the first podcasts I listened to. It was called Breaking Good on Bald Move. And it was about Breaking Bad, and it really made me love podcasting and love Breaking Bad even more, got more into it. So.
Yeah, those were the good old days, man. Walking Dead and Mad Men.
I know, Mad Men. I can't believe we didn't podcast it, Mike.
All right, well, we'll get the next big era of television.
Yep.
All right, and if you want to reach Jamie, she's still out there at Word Girly, and Wish I Said That Shit is her website. I don't know if she's going to keep that going or not, but wish her the best, and she was great when she was with me for the time she was here, and we'll all move on to greater and better things.
Yeah, I love you, Jamie. Miss you, really. Seriously. My sister wife.
On that note, we'll say goodbye. I'll talk to you next week, Michelle.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right,
bye.